Here's a troubling one. And I'm thankful that it was asked, because it's probably been on a lot of people's hearts, but it's still nonetheless a troubling one. It's a longer question. Here's the question itself. Rabbi Zacharias was a highly influential apologist. After his death, we learned some rather troubling things about his lifestyle. How should we as Christians plan to respond to this? What lessons can be learned? Now, who here knows who Rabbi Zacharias is? All right, many hands. I'll tell you, first of all, this caught me as a shocker, as it probably did for many of you. If you don't know a little bit about my family, I'll give you a little bit of how I was introduced to Rabbi Zacharias and his ministries. My brother-in-law he was born in India and trained there and came over to the stateside where he met my sister at Clemson University. My brother-in-law finished his doctorate in biomedical engineering and is now the head of the research department at Clemson University for their biomedical engineering department. And as part of that, he's a believer, and his department helped head something that eventually invited Rabbi Zacharias to their campus. And so I was able to go and listen to Rabbi Zacharias at the Little Caesars Coliseum, which is the basketball stadium where Clemson University plays. And I got to sit up real close and personal and hear him. And it was really quite amazing to listen to him, both give his lecture, and then afterwards he would ask Rabbi, and he didn't have any pre-planned questions. They could just come to a mic, open mic, and he would answer them. It was really quite fascinating. But this comes as a shocker to me when I first read it. It didn't seem right to make accusations about someone after they died. But in this case, the evidence was overwhelming. And it was pretty tragic. If you want to read about it, you can find them on Christianity Today has exposed those details very clearly. I won't, for sake of time, and really I would rather not read the details to you even tonight. It's pretty staggering. And that was the first break of those. And then the ministry itself, the Rabbi Zacharias ministry, which I doubt will survive this, did in fact do their own independent investigation and came up to find that, yes, that was all true. None of this was fake. You can read both of those on your own time, by the way. They are tragic, and so read them with your own discretion. But there are some lessons to learn, and they are sobering lessons to learn. Number one, this is not a new phenomenon. For that, I go to 1 Samuel chapter 2. And the sons of Samuel, Hophni and Phinehas. Hophni and Phinehas actually led very similar double lives to what Rabbi Zacharias is leading. I didn't put them all on the screen. I put this the first phrase. Now, the sons of Eli were the sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. I'll continue the reading. It says, and the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servant came while the flesh was in seething with a flesh hook of three teeth in his hand. He struck it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot. All the flesh hook brought up, the priest took him for himself. So they did in Shiloh unto all the Israelites that come thither. Also, before they burnt the fat, the priest's servants came and said to the man that sacrificed, give flesh to the roast of the priest, for he will not have sodden flesh of thee, but raw. And if any man said unto him, let them not fail to burn the fat presently, then take as much as thy soul desirest, then he would answer him, nay, but thou shalt give it to me now, and if not, I will take it by force. Wherefore, the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for the men abhorred the offering of the Lord. They were doing this in the practice of ministry. They were doing it. They took advantage of people financially in that passage, and they used their ministry position as an excuse and an occasion to gratify their own sexual desires. I'm not claiming I know, by the way, in all of this, who is a believer, who is not. Certainly, these kind of situations like Rabbi's do make you wonder, but that's ultimately for the Lord's discretion to decide. I heard this, and I appreciated it. There's a man by the name of Pastor Kevin Shaw. He's a pastor in Arizona. I preached for him when I traveled in evangelism. He wrote about it. And he relayed this story. He said, I was sitting with a group of pastors as a young minister, listening to Richard Rupp preach on the subject of moral failure among pastors. Richard Rupp asked us, what heart sin most often leads to moral failure? Kevin Shaw said, I raised my hand timidly and said, lust, to which Richard Rupp said, no, it's arrogance. Pride leads to destruction, and the foolishness of it is that pride springs from a lie. God's great gift to his servants his greatest gifts to his servants often become the thorns of their own flesh. Whenever a preacher begins to read or go into his own press clippings or the well-intended compliments of someone and say, "That was a great sermon," and they begin to allow that to puff their heads up, they begin to get themselves, and I can say this even as a preacher myself, into dangerous waters. Pastor Kevin Shaw continued and said, "The church member who questions everything we do might be strategically placed in our lives by God to remind us that we are not all that." He's right. This is not a new phenomenon. Number two, this kind of thing takes time. Sin on the level that Christianity today described, does not happen all at once. It grows gradually over a long period of time as sinful behavior builds layer upon layer. And as he gets away with one thing, he goes to the next, perhaps even worse. It starts by justifying small indiscretions. And then it multiplies until you find yourself trapped in your own web of deceit. As you read Zechariah's story, it prompts you, I trust, to examine your own life. What small things are you willing to excuse? They will add up. And be sure, your sins will find you out. Rabbi Zechariah's legacy will forever be tainted. Forever. I very strongly doubt that the Rabbi Zechariah's ministries will survive this, and I don't think they should. Quite frankly, there are other good ministries that we can look at for apologetic ministry. But this did take time, and that's why, thirdly, accountability is for everyone. No pastor, no Christian leader should be considered so gifted or so important or so critical to the ministry that he is exempt from accountability. Churches that refuse normal accountability practices are not obedient New Testament churches. They are sinning churches. Even the Apostle Paul said he wanted to be held personally accountable. As Paul prepared to send a large offering from the churches of Macedonia to the church at Jerusalem, you'll read how Paul took great pains to make sure there was not only accountability before God, but also visible accountability before the world and the church. The church chose Titus, you'll remember, to travel for the specific purpose of giving oversight and accountability to the Apostle Paul's ministry. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Rabbi Zacharias' books will fall by the wayside. Even if there were good content in them, I've lowered them on my bookshelf to bottom shelf books, right? He is no longer on earth, but what Paul feared for himself is the ultimate legacy of Rabbi Zacharias. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, Paul said, "I discipline my body. I bring it unto subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified." Disqualified means to be taken out of the service, out of the ministry, to be put on the shelf, not to be read. If the Apostle Paul was deeply concerned about the possibility of his apostleship ministry being a disqualified ministry to the point where he believed it is possible he could cross a line that he could no longer be a preacher, then certainly every preacher ought to be cautious and every believer ought to take heed. Certainly I should, and certainly you should too. There are a lot of challenging things that have come as a result of this. There are a lot more questions to be asked, quite frankly. There was an addendum to this question. Do you believe Rabbi Zacharias was saved? That is not for me to decide. I do read in Scripture that the Bible does tell us that the sexually immoral have no place in the kingdom of heaven. That is in Scripture. I do not know. I do not know. I do know it's very easy to say the right things and not actually be saved, however. I do know that. But ultimately, it is for none of us to decide whether or not it is salvation. What it is wise for us to do instead is take a very close look at our own lives and our own ministries. And also to understand, and I can say this more transparently now as a preacher and a pastor, it is not ever appropriate for a church member to extend more grace to a pastor when he fails than they would someone else in the pew. The pastor ought to be held in higher esteem and therefore held into a higher level of responsibility. And so when his failures are made clear, they should be made public and they should be declared as such. And it's very critical that we do. And so for that reason, I can conclude and say, I'm actually very thankful for the board members of Ravi Zacharias Ministry. Those that are alive and remain, if you go on their website, they have made very clear what happened. This was wrong. They have done all that they could to publicly state this is sin. And would it be that believers would do exactly that? Call sin, sin. Sometimes, by the way, when it comes to sin, we don't like to call sin, sin, because we mistake doing so and thinking, well, that wouldn't be loving. And just the opposite is true. Calling sin, sin is loving, because that's what our God did for us. He told us we are sinners, that he may bring us to himself, that we may repent. And while Ravi Zacharias' ministry was ultimate an apologetic ministry, perhaps the great apologetic ministry any of us can have is to simply to say, sin is wicked, sin is terrible, sin needs to be repented of, and we need a Savior. So, thanks for that question, I guess. But